report him to an agency. You want to tell them
yes.
about that?
Yes. Well, I just got I picked up my cell phone and I showed it to him. You know, like, hey, baby, you want some trouble? Here it is. And then I think his brain clicked on that his action could become a bigger
liability
issue. Yeah, and that's a good word, liability. And then I just called this agency and reported him, and he did have a defense sticker, a green sticker on the back of his car. There were a couple of them.
It's interesting all these defense departments and agencies are actually seem to be engaging in offensive action. I mean, it's a little strange. Maybe the advertising needs to be shifted here. Anyway, let's get back. Are you guys finished? Nick, folks?
No, I'd like to say that I was listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz yesterday. I think it was Democracy Now. This is Cordelia Clancy speaking. And I was very encouraged to hear that, you know, certain CIA veterans and members of the Defense Intelligence Agency and the FBI, there are a number that are either retired or are resigning right now because they're disagreeing with the government's course of action. One of them had mentioned that his faith in the government was strained beyond credulity, you know, just couldn't believe it. So I don't think we should make blanket statements about the people in our military. There are those that do not agree with the Bush administration. I think there are a lot of people in the State Department that are very concerned about the effect on foreign relations and how we're really kicking ourselves in the own butt and shooting ourselves in the foot by alienating so many people and causing enemies left and right.
I agree with you, but I also think it's true that until the entire agency speaks out generally, you have to, you know, in essence, the individuals do get tarred with the brush of the agency and the general reputation they have. So there is that.
I agree. And then there are the blindly patriotic ones that I think there's an inner child archetype thing going on, you know, not only in some of the military, but also in some of the American population. It's like, we don't want to believe that our government can be the bad guy because government is kind of like daddy. And
I think
it's
that's
just
true.
Too hard to believe, you know, that how would we be the bad guys? And why
that's
would
true
we
among people, but I think also you have conflicting agents. I think the CIA people are pissed that the government is misusing, that the Bush regime is misusing its information, and that they're going to get their asses kicked, the CIA, in the end, because they're going to get blamed, just like they got blamed for, you know, 9/11 and all these other things, when in fact it's the Bush regime that's, you know, it's doing all this stuff on Iraq on the high of 9/11. As I mentioned, I think in a previous show, Kevin Pollak wrote a book about why we should invade Iraq. This is a Republican think tank guy. But he had four preconditions about doing it, which involved, first of all, resolving the Palestine dispute. Second of all, having financial funding lined up for the recreation, reconstruction of Iraq. Third of all, having your allies lined up in the area and doing it with international support. And none of these conditions were met by the Bush regime because they feel they can just fly high on this, you know, on the intoxication of 9/11, which apparently they can do, or at least they're still able to do it until, of course, the wind dies down and they come crashing to the ground, we hope.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of talk about, Bush and his connections between Al-Qaeda and Iraq, and they're just not there. I mean, the CIA and the FBI have been confused
about
that.
Yeah, this one I don't even want to get into because there is no connection, and
exactly.
Why even begin? I mean, if anybody's got any evidence out there, please call in, all you Republicans. Let's hear it. But right now, I did promise to get this Capitola. We are all going up on trespass charges because we stood in front of the recruiting doors. I have my doubts, by the way, about whether this is a good thing to do because, well, I agree with it symbolically, and I wanted to be supportive of the group of people who were doing it. I found myself wondering, is this going to be a good use of our time in the weeks and months ahead going into these court cases? But when a bunch of people want to stand up, they need support, I try to be there on this issue, and so I was there. And I hope that folks show up on Monday, at least to raise the issue of closing down the recruiting center, hopefully closing down 41st Avenue and the freeway, frankly. I'm more into seeing some general stoppage. And some people say, well, why do you want to antagonize all those people trying to go to work? And the answer is, you have to stop this machine. Mario Savio said it in 1964. It has to be said again in 2003. It has become odious. It has to be stopped. That's how I feel. And I'm pleased when the people in San Francisco are stopping it. And I realize this does create inconvenience and difficulty for some people. And I think that demonstrators and protesters try to be helpful. And there are other avenues for people who have medical emergencies and so forth. But the current emergency is the massive war of aggression in Iraq. Any comments from my guests on that one before we proceed? Or?
Well, one thing I did... there's so many. The people in San Francisco, they're almost trying to demonize people that are peace activists. And getting back to cyclic economics in Silicon Valley, I'm a local, and we already knew in the 70s that military spending was causing dead-end economics and causing painful situations where people were losing their jobs and pulling kids out of school and had to leave. And then also up in the city, you know, peace activists bringing in cyclic economics in terms of art, you know, the arts and things that we've been pushing for is very important, and you need to stick with it. And don't let them demonize you in the fact of, oh, well, you're against the troops. Well, let me tell you, I am completely behind the troops, and just like in Nam, yeah. And getting their...
This is another argument that I agree with, and that's why I'm going to break in on you, because I think we all agree. The trouble is, I don't want to spend a lot of time on what we all agree on. I do appreciate you bringing it up, Matt, but it's, you know, I mean, you know, who disagrees with that in the studio? Who disagrees with that listening to this show? My question is, what do we do next? And again, I want to get to this Capitola sit-in or stand-in or block-in that happened, and I'm going to play it now, though I want to give you at least a 10-second rejoinder here.
Why don't we have people call in from the town to say, what do we do next? I've asked people to send me their flower power art, and we're going to post it on the web, and I just see it as a way for children and younger people or mothers or somebody who feels like they're out of control or they would like to have some control. Your little pebble makes a rock in the, you know, it rocks
sure.
the pond.
And we're going to give your website so you can do that. But first, the Capitola sit-in. This happened on Thursday. This is a phone call about what happened. I'm going to try to get some of my longer tape, which kind of covered some of the precursor to all this, what happened before the arrest. We're talking about situation in Capitola at the recruiting stations on 41st Avenue in Claire's, which had been the site of numerous protests for the last 2 or 3 weeks. Resource Center for Nonviolence Activists, Sharon Delgado and others. There was quite a large demonstration, 80 or 90, maybe more than 100 people there, I guess, a couple weeks ago, maybe even a week ago, I'm not quite sure. And the demonstrations have been smaller on the sidewalk, but on this Thursday, demonstrators took it upon themselves to stand in front of the doors of the various recruiting stations. They actually had done this some days before, and the recruiters had simply closed down the stations and gone home. Today, however, on Thursday, they took a different course, and we're going to hear that now.
We have a report coming in from the streets up in Capitola. Hello, caller?
Hi, this is Robert Norris calling from Capitola here. The loud noises you hear in the background is the sounds of people singing peace songs. There are blockades here of about, 10 or 20 people, maybe 30 if you count the folks on the upstairs of the 3 military recruiting centers. I'm standing next to the son of a refugee, of a Holocaust survivor, and a woman who's never been arrested before in front of the Army recruiting station. There are about 5 or 10 Capitola police sort of dotting the area, and the word has it that riot police are about to move in and make arrests, though, of course, this has been a very peaceful scene, and I don't think the Capitola police are necessarily going to resort to violence here.
How many people are there, would you say?
Well, down here in front of the center, we have 8 of us blocking the Army Center, and upstairs I see, I don't know, I can see 3 or 4, and I don't know who's at the 3rd center because I can't see it. All of us in the same complex, 2 of the offices on the 2nd floor.
Is the center open for business?
The center is not open. We have essentially stopped it from opening, or let's put it this way. They've chosen not to open it yet. We've been warned that this will be an unlawful assembly shortly, or perhaps already is, even though yesterday there were 2 people flyering here that they repeatedly threatened to arrest. There we go. Here's the warning. Here's the warning.
Okay.
You might be able to hear this. Do you want it back?
Yeah.
I gotta return the phone here. Can we put it out over the radio? It's going out live over the radio right now.
Oh, great.
Okay.
I declare this to be an unlawful assembly.
Okay.
I order you, in the name of the people of the state of California, to immediately disperse. If you do not disperse immediately, you shall be arrested for violation of Section 407 of the Penal Code on lawful assembly and for violation of section 409 of the Penal Code.
Can you hear this?
Remaining present at an unlawful assembly. Once again, I am Sergeant Todd Mayer of the Santa Cruz, Capitol Police Department. I declare this to be an unlawful assembly and order you, in the name of the people of the state of California, to immediately disperse. If you do not disperse immediately, you shall be arrested for violation of section 407 of the Penal Code on lawful assembly and for violation of
There's a group of people off to the side who are watching us who haven't dispersed either. It's not clear what group he's referring to at the moment.
Robert?
Yes.
Has there been any kind of damage or anything?
No, it's completely peaceful.
If there are any members of the press present in the immediate arrest area, please remove yourself.
The press has been asked to leave.
Holy, just like the war.
The press member is staying.
Outside.
The press has been told they're not allowing them to stay in the building because the photograph has been told to leave completely.
Thank you.
The observers are leaving and clapping.
Are people leaving?
Sorry?
Are people leaving?
Can't hear you.
Are people leaving?
If you're asking if people are leaving, the observers have left, the photographers have left. There are about 8 or 9 police officers. They're not in riot gear, by the way. They're just ordinarily dressed. And then there are, 7 or 8 of us here in front of this particular Army recruiting station. There are several women with signs who are still here taking pictures, having ignored the sergeant's warning. They have a sign, we not the so. I can't read the sign, but it's, we want to support our troops, bring them home, sort of thing.
This is Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3. This is live as of March 21st, 2003, in front of the Capitol.
Yeah, it looks like they're actually going to carry through on an arrest, arresting us.
Okay.
I want to thank, why don't we have a word from the man who's standing next to me, whose cellular phone I'm using. Maybe he can tell you a little bit more from his perspective what's happened.
Okay. Capitola recruiting station.
Hi. Yes, it looks like we're about, 7 or 8 of us, about to get arrested. We have a lot of support people who have just left the area, but they are going to support this action. And it does look like they're going to arrest us. I feel it's very important for me to be out here because my father is a Holocaust survivor. I see us going into another kind of fascist direction in this country, that this war is part of that move for imperialism and empire, and that it's very important for all of us to join together in solidarity, that we support each other in this so that we can maintain the movement and we can keep going and not to let fear rule us, but to be brave and to do it together, and we shall overcome if we do that.
What's happening right now?
Nothing yet. They're getting ready to make the arrest. They're standing around. The police are filming us. The police are standing around. There's one media photographer that's still in the area that made most of the media leave. Upstairs, there's various people watching from the different offices. Some people with cameras.
So you could say it's been a very peaceful rally?
Yeah, it's been very peaceful. We've been singing. Apparently, they have a lot of cops and riot gear outside, but inside, they're being pretty peaceful in here. So far, we haven't had any problems.
How many police officers would you say are there?
I just see about 10 in our general vicinity. There could be more outside. I think it's the ones outside that are going to make the arrest, but I'm not sure.
Do they have sheriffs with them, or is it just Capitola PD?
What's that?
Is it just the Capitola PD, or is there sheriffs involved?
It looks like there's a variety. There are definitely mostly Capitola Police Department, but it does look like there's some under, and there might be some, you know, intelligence officers. It's hard to say exactly who they all are, but it looks actually from their thing.
Are you going to leave, sir?
No.
Uh-oh.
And that was the arrest in Capitola at the Army, Navy, and Air Force recruiting centers on Thursday in the morning. 13 of us were arrested. We were, as I understand it, all charged with trespass and released after being handcuffed, taken into a, put into a squad car. Actually, it was into several police wagons. You're not supposed to say paddy wagon, by the way. If you say paddy wagon, police officers will look at you and say, oh, you want to discriminate against Irish people? And I'll kind of look at them and sort of, you know, I guess it's like saying, do you want to Jew someone down or... use the word nigger and so forth. I mean, I suppose, you know, politically correct. And in any case, so anyway, we were all taken away after I got past that one there. And we were released probably within about an hour and a half down, not even at the jail. We were outside the jail, and we were sort of photographed. We weren't fingerprinted. We were told to go down and fingerprint ourselves. And then we were going to have to appear for misdemeanor charges of trespass, which... usually trespass charges are 6 months to a year in jail. I think the Sentinel claimed, and of course it's always a questionable source, that it was like 4 months and a $900 fine or $400 fine. It's a number of months in jail if you're found guilty as a possible maximum. And we will be going to court in mid-April, and I'm sure that you'll have a chance to come and support those of us who did that, unless the charges are dropped, which hopefully they will be. Because it was obviously a First Amendment activity, and actually some folks here in the studio have pointed out that whose freedom of movement was really impaired. Were there any people who actually tried to get into the recruiting stations that we stopped? I don't recall that happened. In fact, the day before, some yellow tape went up that said caution, kind of a line about do not cross, which the police didn't put up, interestingly, that the protesters did as a kind of a... colorful bit of theater, but the manager had in fact asked the protesters not to come on the property and so forth. But people did anyway, and when somebody called the police with two individuals giving out flyers, the police said, these people have a right to flyer on the property, it's open to the public. That's the reason why all charges against me, for example, circulating a petition at the farmer's market a year and a half ago when I was trying to make sure that musicians and street people were not excluded from the farmer's market. And I was arrested once and cited another time for that. All those charges were dropped. They're bogus charges because it's a public area, even if it's on private property. So that's going to be perhaps one of the legal arguments that's raised. And I want to thank Ed Fry and other attorneys for coming forward, apparently to give pro bono, I could be wrong about this, but I think it's pro bono legal assistance to the 13 of us. That is, unfortunately, very rare, particularly in civil rights cases that are local. If you get, a larger national or international issue, you can get folks doing this for you sometimes. But, for example, I was arrested, non-custodial arrest, means I wasn't put in handcuffs or taken anywhere, but I was told, we're citing you for a crime. You cannot leave this scene. You are, in essence, arrested when that happens. I know customarily people think of an arrest as being taken to jail and put in jail and booked, or at least put in handcuffs and taken to a car. But, in fact, an arrest happens when an officer feels he has... or she has probable cause to file a charge against you, and then you are literally held for that moment. That's not a detention, that's an arrest. And later in the show, I'm going to play you my chalking arrest. This is an arrest for chalking the words "no war" on Pacific Avenue on the street, not on the sidewalk, but on the street in front of my sticker mobile. And I was arrested by five police officers. Two of them community service officers, I believe. So the police kept saying, they're not five police officers here, they're only three police officers. I said, well, as you will, they're all being paid for by the community. They all walk around with, looking like they could take your life if they wanted. They all are connected by radios. They all have the sanction of the law. We have an incoming call here. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Yeah, good morning. I'm calling about the disruptive behavior that you 13 people did at the...
Sure.
Capitola situation?
Yes.
I think, the behavior, someone was saying, what can we do next and what should we do?
Mm-hmm.
What can we do? I mean, first of all, in our attitude, we can think peacefully and act kindly in our presence,
mm-hmm.
in other words, as we're living.
Mm-hmm.
And as we do that, we'll radiate that energy and
mm-hmm.
it will, so to speak, unify and magnify.
Mm-hmm.
So to empower ourselves is not to look to the leaders of the world to listen to us, because
mm-hmm.
that doesn't work.
Right.
So the idea is to act locally and project through your heart and mind those ideas and actions which will create what you hope for.
Is this sort of the Allen Ginsberg OM approach? I mean, I'm not putting it down.
No.
He used it effectively, I think.
Yeah. It's not putting anything down. I know where you're coming from. Your heart's in a great place, and you're like one of the true frontiersmen in Santa Cruz as far as maintaining awareness of social issues, which is always important. It's like in Shakespeare's time, they would have minstrels that would sing and communicate about some local issue or some local situation in a song.
Mm-hmm.
And people would hearken and listen to that because they knew what he was talking about, and yet it was a creative art form and expression that was beautiful and yet expressed something that was necessary to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is there are many ways to express ourselves
mm-hmm.
creatively, whether it's writing letters, whether it's writing saying poems. There are many actions we can do in our daily lives
mm-hmm.
to create what we hope for and project that into our presence. And basically, that's our empowerment, and each of us has that ability because it's given to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what this man is talking about is quite powerful because it's called collective consciousness. And, you know, once the collective consciousness takes hold, there's no stopping it because everyone is empowered by knowledge, empowered by their own acts, empowered by a more, like the socialists in England that had the arts and crafts movement, they wrote about socialism because they saw in their businesses they were making beautiful wallpapers and furnitures and lamps and making their world a more beautiful place. And at the same time, they saw people in their factories that were supported that way benefiting. So that's where that movement came from in that country. And it's still quite strong. And we need to see that in America because we've never really had, we've had plenty of boons in military, but we haven't had it in arts and crafts. Movement as big as it
gotcha.
Could be.
So
right, that's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
You want to say something there?
No, I'm good. You want to say something, Cordelia?
Yeah, I think change occurs on a lot of different levels. I think there's, you know, the physical realm, and then there's also the consciousness realm. And I'd like to repeat a really fascinating story I heard from Carolyn Mace. Some of you may be familiar with who she is. She's an intuitive healer, but she teaches workshops, and one of the participants at a workshop had talked about a near-death experience that she had where she was in a car wreck and found herself above her body looking at the attempts to resuscitate her. And she found that while she was out of her body, she could she was aware of all the thoughts of the people that were in the traffic backed up behind her. And she could hear things like, oh, shit, this is all I need, I'm going to be late. But about five cars back, she saw light pouring out of the car being directed towards the heavens and then back at her, and she thought, wow, what's that? And she found herself sitting in that car next to a woman who was actually praying for her, saying, I don't know who this person is, but if my prayers can help them now, please send your grace to help this person. And
pray
she was
peace.
She was so moved by this that she, you know, got the license plate of the woman in the car, and she was told it was not her time to die, and went back to her body, and she was in a coma for a few days, but when she woke up, the first thought on her mind was, I need to find this person and thank them for their gift, their prayers, because I think it helped me. And she, don't interrupt me yet, Robert.
Oh boy.
But the point is, that was a very inspiring story to me, that prayers get there, and consciousness and energy works on a realm that maybe we don't understand. And a lot of us are really angry right now with the Bush administration and the lack of consciousness in our leadership, but maybe on one level what we can do is actually pray that consciousness and a level of awareness and intelligence and compassion, you know, reach these people in their minds, in their intellect, in their hearts, and maybe on a personal level that's something that we can do. I know Santa Cruz is a conscious community. Let's send the light to the darkness
Sunday,
in their
right.
minds and their hearts. You know, maybe that's something we can do on a personal level.
Hey, caller, anything else before we roll on?
No, I agree with that 100%, and the basic concept that I'm trying to communicate is we're interconnected globally and universally as like concentric circles that go forth from a center point.
Mm-hmm.
And so
no,
what I'm trying to communicate, what I'm trying to say in a nutshell is that our consciousness is interwoven, and we are interrelating globally as we speak right now.
Okay.
So peace to you guys, and realize that this is an eternal existence. So regardless of these day-to-day experiences, they're all grist for the mill, and they will all pass through.
Thank
and
you.
One intelligent
Thank you, caller.
Thing that I did hear from the president of Turkey through all this chaos from 9/11 to today, he stood up in the middle of it all and said, we should be doing more art and tourism. And I thought, who is this brilliant man? They're all going to think he's crazy. And now he's caught up in that chaos of who gets to fly over this country and this and that. And I'm thinking, more importantly, he should be promoted in the media as somebody who has a solution.
So if you have a solution, what we can do in the next week here in Santa Cruz, we've heard prayers, we've got internet prospects, and I like the good thoughts approach and all that sort of thing. But frankly, I'm fuming, so I'm not going to attack. Ah, here's a suggestion. Perhaps let's see what we got here. If I can remember which button to push. Here we go. Hi there. You're on Free Radio Santa Cruz with the Raging Peace Mix.
Hi, Robert. I thought sort of connected to what the previous speaker, previous caller mentioned, and some of your people in the studio, but is something that I don't think I've heard a lot about, which is that this is actually the war in Iraq is not even when it quotes ends. Will it be the end? It's basically that we're already deep in World War III, and the World War III, the antagonists in World War III, it seems to me, has been indicated by the demonstrations all over the world, hundreds of thousands, millions of people. Basically, the ultimate adversaries are the governments of the world, and the economic system that they support, and the people of the earth. Somebody's already said that there are two superpowers at present in the world. Somebody said that a couple of weeks ago. That's the United States and the people of the world. and that some consciousness of the fact, whether it's employed in a more spiritual sense, as the recent speakers were saying, or whether directly that there is this sense, this is it, this is Armageddon, and this is the
what's
great
your solution,
war.
Caller? I want solutions.
Fight against the
solutions,
man.
Solutions, please.
Hello.
How do we stop Armageddon? I want solutions here.
I want them too, Robert. And I don't think I should be. I don't think I should be.
Irresponsible, caller. I want a solution.
To do it, I would say that generally speaking, the less one can be adversarial about anyone who is, for instance, at the recruiting centers and at the, let them be adversarial. But if possible, we have to try to open up lines of communication. Let's say to the armed forces, who are, after all, ourselves, our families, our people, and we just have to try and increase understanding there without a sense that, that they're the enemy. They are not the enemy. They happen to be misled and serving the enemy. But that's
there
a whole
is an
different
enemy.
Approach.
The enemy,
from,
there is an enemy. Governments are, as you say, are the enemy. And the problem is they're the ones who are murdering people as we speak. As we speak.
Well,
so
I
talk,
understand.
You know, so to talk
they
about
are,
this,
but
know,
they're,
in,
but they're,
in a mellow fashion, I can appreciate it. We want to extend. Certainly, people are, misunderstood.
Well, they're
so
not
forth.
Murdering people as we speak. They are doing their duty. You see, I mean, that's the. It's a question of what language is being used.
I'm talking
the
about
point
the governments.
Is that, the
that's
great vice of the left is self-righteousness.
Hey,
and,
I'm not fighting
with
you on
that. Stay away from that.
Hey,
and try to understand
hello.
That everybody's doing the best they can with what they got to do it with.
Yeah.
And what if we want to change what they're doing?
Yeah.
We've got to change.
I'm not
going to
argue with you. You're arguing with the wrong person. Hello.
There's some bad people, and they're in the U.S. and other armed forces. Otherwise, we get into, evildoers and,
getting back
and,
to
and who's more of an evildoer,
hello,
Saddam
hello.
Hussein or George Bush?
Hey, are you there?
What?
Are you there? You are there.
If
okay.
there's somebody out there working for a defense company and and you're making minimum wage, quit your job today and go to McDonald's because you can make, maybe not McDonald's, people are going to get on me for that, but go to, say, the bicycle store. Or they're going to be putting out whale watching tours. There's somewhere else you can make minimum wage. When I was 17, I worked for a graphics place, and I wanted to learn to be a graphic artist. And I was inking, and then after about the fourth project, when I learned how to ink, I realized the only thing I didn't ink that was not defense related was a piece of the wing of the space shuttle, those little tiles. And I thought, oh Christ, I can't live with myself. So I quit the job, and the guys go Silicon Valley screaming at me, "Hey, you can make a lot of money at this!" And I said, I screamed back at him, "Hey, but I can't live with myself." So,
here.
You know,
you have to make a lifetime of conscious decisions about, and, you know, it's not going to be any easier. Go over and get a defense job where everything's cush and you got the bennies and you got this and you got that. Well, you're responsible. You know, and if if you're demonstrating for peace and you work for a company that's supplying that piece of the technology, you better think about it.
Go ahead.
I'd just like to talk a little bit about getting communication channels into the military. I'm kind of in a unique position in that I for listeners that weren't with us earlier, I helped train the security advisor and bodyguard for General Myers, who's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I've taught him in self-defense.
Interrupting you for a moment here, because caller, can we have you said your piece so we can let other callers in, or?
Sure. Let's let other callers in.
Okay. Thank you. Go ahead.
Anyway, turns out in November that some of the defensive tactics that I taught this bodyguard, he actually had to use, and it saved his life. And so he's, you know, he's been a good friend of mine for about 3 years now since I started training him. And he's in the office of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He's the security advisor to the bodyguard. So he's actually been calling me, asking me what it is that Californians are thinking right now. So they do have an ear and a pulse, right?
And I tell him that, you know what, we're not buying the propaganda.
Hello?
We're not buying the
bullshit. You're almost on the air.
Okay.
And,
can you turn it down, Jerry?
We've had some heated debates, you know. We joke about me being kind of a dichotomy of tree hugger and hand-to-hand combat, you know, expert and all this stuff. But they are interested in knowing, like, how people are buying the propaganda. And I tell them that, you know, Californians aren't buying it. We don't, you know, people are educated here. So it might work in the South. And
connections,
you know,
and personal friendships. We'll see what this caller has to say about that.
Okay. I'd also like to let everybody know that I've been emailing him slideshows of the protests around the world and saying, you know, General Myers is a good man. I really do believe that. He's got a history of speaking against abuses of power, and I've been trying to encourage him to speak out against this massive abuse of power, and saying that, you know, Hitler, there are been a lot of comparisons.
I want to put this caller on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, go.
Okay. And I think it's important to hear about General Myers and your connection with him. But go ahead, caller. We got you on the line now.
Hello, Robert North.
Yes.
Steve Argue here.
Hey, Steve.
Hey.
Hi, Robert.
So I heard you play that footage earlier. Talking about Mike Rotkin's letter to the Sentinel.
Oh boy. I always hate to waste time on Mike Rotkin, but go ahead.
Well, I think if we're going to do something about...
He is on the city council, yeah.
If we're going to do something about war in the long run, we have to take on one of the political parties, one of the two political parties that keeps bringing us into war.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Rotkin represents one of them. That's the Democratic Party. And with this letter, he's attacking the anti-war movement here in Santa Cruz.
You're referring to a letter by Mike Rotkin in the Santa Cruz Sentinel in which he denounces sectarian idiots who did not want Representative Farr to speak at the peace rally, which Emily Riley tried to wedge Farr into, and the peace activists said, no, there are other people who have to speak before you, you didn't arrange it, and so forth. And you're also referring to his commentary in the same letter about you, in which he described you as a person who slugged a cop, somehow indicating that gave you, removed all credibility from you. This is the letter you're referring to, Steve Argue?
Right.
Go
right.
Ahead. I'm sorry, I had to give that update for the folks out there.
Okay. Yes, and that's exactly, that was part of it, and part of it also he was denouncing people for voting for Ralph Nader, and that being part of what's gotten us into this mess. But, you know, the fact that Sam Farr wasn't allowed to speak, I think, has a lot to do with, you know, the record of his record. Now he's going on record as saying that we shouldn't even be fighting back against this war now that the troops are sent into action. You know, his record's been one of putting $440 billion into the weapons industry, or into the war budget.
Steve, we ran through this one about half an hour ago, but yeah, you're right. I'm sorry.
I don't know.
You just tuned in, probably.
Okay. Anyway, I was going to talk
a little
bit
about
that.
Far. Just,
and I was going to talk about the fact that you know, he jumps all over me, and he has no moral standing to do that either, because of the fact that he is keeping sleep illegal for the homeless at night here in Santa Cruz, and the fact that he's the one who sent his cops out to brutalize people at that demonstration, where I was put in a position where I had to fight back to protect a woman and child, and that it's Mike Rockin himself who doesn't have the moral standing, because he doesn't stand up to his own police department, which he's one of the bosses of, when they go and attack anti-war demonstrators, and he has no credentials in the anti-war movement
whatsoever.
And
subsequently, the officer who you struck was found to have used excessive force on this woman and child which you said you were defending in this blow against the officer, and the woman and child did in fact escape.
Right, and the Citizens Police Review Board even ruled that this cop officer Lefebvre had used excessive force,
right,
which endangered the child.
The point is,
Mike Rockin's never come out, you know, and admitted anything like that, but he's constantly attacking me for doing the right thing. I'm not a pacifist. I stood up to violence in order to protect this woman and child, and I'm not ashamed of that. And I think I have the moral standing, whereas Mike Rockin and the Sam Farrs of the world don't. And the fact that he's attacking the Green Party, he's attacking me representing the Peace and Freedom Party. I think these two anti-war parties, this is part of the solution in terms of getting rid of the capitalist pro-war parties, the Democrats and Republicans.
So for the next week, what do you suggest people do to help stop this war?
I suggest that there's been demonstrations down at the town clock. I suggest people go down to that. I suggest people listen to what demonstrations are going on, be part of them, educate ourselves, and this I don't think, I think we may disagree a little bit. I think that this is not something that's going to be over right away. I don't think it's going to be something we can stop right away, no matter, how panicked we get or upset we get. But there are actions we can take, and people should go out and do them.
This artist has a response for you.
Okay.
A number of people at the town clock, the kids, and they usually have higher morals than us adults, that started the 24-hour vigil, they are asking for people to come out and support them because, yes, they're soldiers in their peace action, but they do need support, and they've voiced, they were saddened by the Sentinel's report of them being kind of scruffy. They're 15, 16, 17, 18, who wasn't? And when they were that age, and they're strong, but they need support of other kids their age, because your friends are the ones who are going to get drafted. Your friends are the ones that are going to come home in body bags, and your children. So you need to support they are asking for support of that 24-hour vigil, and having people come down there and sign up and spell these guys so that they can take a break and then get back in is really important. And I think that their heightened values should be respected by the local paper, that they're going for higher consciousness, and at a point in their lives where they can, and they're going to be the leaders of the future. So, you need to get out to the clock and support these guys.
Yeah, I think also the other thing that the vigil is about, the vigil against two wars, it's about the war on the poor in Santa Cruz. And you can see this in all kinds of ways based on, most recently Lulu Carpenter's, the assault by the manager on the owner on two of the protesters, where he wasn't even taken into custody. He was simply cited by police, even though he acted twice in the space of, I understand, 1 hour to assault two people. The merchants downtown are sort of untouchable under the current regime. And I think what people need to do is start paying attention to how people are treated in our town. I mean, this to me is the war on the poor, and it's something that I'm beating the drums about it all the time, before, after, and during this war against Iraq. Steve, I'm trying to get, by the way, Rotkin on the air to debate Joe Williams. Councilmember Mike Rotkin is a controversial council member. Actually, he's a sort of a former progressive who went far to the right, and he has been recycled.
When was he progressive?
Huh?
When was he progressive?
He is a self-proclaimed progressive council member.
Okay, he's been a progressive faker for many years, but I've never seen him as an actual progressive.
I suppose he supported rent control in 1982. That might at some point qualify him as a progressive. But, he uses that support, for example, to turn down every subsequent request for a rent control being put on the ballot by the city council. Oh, it didn't work in 1982, so it can't work now. It's his... We weren't able to pass it then, and so forth. I'm trying to get him on the air with Joe Williams, and you will, of course, be invited to call in, or possibly, who knows, to come in, and we'll see what happens with that. No punching. And I'll get punchy myself. Anything more you want to say about this issue, or specifically what you think we should do for the next week? Or
well, I just said what I thought, and I'll let you go ahead with your show.
Hey, thank you, Steve.
All right, bye.
Thanks for calling in. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is your free radio. Phone number 427-3772. And they're hot and heavy. Looks like we have some cool calls today. Hi there. You're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert. Theodora. And I've got a good idea for what not to do on...
Wait a minute. Is it legal to smoke marijuana yet?
It's... Legality is... how to put it, it hasn't been legal for recreational use for 60 years, but that hasn't stopped us, and that's my point.
You know, talk about your war on terrorism. The war on drugs has been going on for, just years, and you've been fighting that, so have I. Then they've come up with this latest version of the war on terrorism. Now, of course, we have the war in Iraq, which ratchets it up further. But you had some comments, which probably...
I do have some comments, and not about the drug war, though. That's part of why I'm going to make the comments I'm going to make. But fast approaching is April 15th, which is tax day, and I want to encourage everybody to give themselves a tax break this year and don't pay taxes. And I've got some good websites, because one of the failings of the left is to really embrace the Constitution and do our homework and understand that that we have... we were founded on a document that really is protective of us and has, when it comes to the issue of taxes, the 16th Amendment that authorized the collection of income taxes was never legally ratified. Now, people on the left don't even want to talk about it. You know, they want to pretend they're sending their taxes in and it's going to, help welfare mothers and do all the good things that they believe in, but somehow the other 50% of their taxes that go to war, somehow their 50% isn't going to war, so they don't have any blood on their hands, and they're also innocent, and they, everybody wants to hold up their signs, and I believe in peace, but I imagine, 95% of them are going to go pay their taxes on time. So I want to give your listeners some websites where they can actually educate themselves and understand that we have options and it's time to do our homework.
Okay, go for it.
So the first two websites are where you can actually get the information that the 16th Amendment was never legally ratified. This is information that was gathered by one man who went to all the state houses in all the states and gathered the original documents about when this issue came through and how the legislature dealt with it, and he's proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was never legally ratified, and it was just a fraud to get more money out of the of the Americans when they said it was ratified. It was not.
Mm-hmm.
And these two websites are thelawthatneverwas.com
mm-hmm.
and givemeliberty.org. And that'll introduce folks to the movement that is going on, mostly from the right spectrum, but there's many people of mixed beliefs in this that are doing their homework. Now, the other piece of the information has to do with the actual U.S. tax codes, which are very specific about the only people really obligated to pay taxes are foreigners living here and people who are earning money from working for foreign corporations. And This information is buried in the tax codes. We're not supposed to know it, and in fact, one of the ways that the IRS keeps their files on people is to list, if you're a taxpayer, if you could understand your tax file codes and could get hold of your tax files, you would find out that you are listed actually as being a resident of another country, and it's total fraud. But until people educate themselves, they'll keep paying and supporting war.
Right, so give me the websites.
And the websites are that I'm going to give are taxfreedom.net
mm-hmm.
and sueirs.org.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just I'm sure there's other websites that people can find, but please start doing your homework.
Theodore,
you don't have to pay taxes.
Is there a number of people can call? Because some people may not have gotten all these websites. I didn't write them down, but... If they want to get them from you, can they call you and get the information, or I'll tell you what, if anybody's really interested, give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833, that's
Homeless
United
for
Friendship
and Freedom. And let me get you a copy of this, Robert.
Sorry?
Let me get you a copy. It's a flyer.
Sure,
I'm handing out.
I got to tell you, I don't know how interested I am in this, Theodora. Of course, I have to look at it first.
Well, you know.
But I think if people are interested, they should definitely have access to it.
Do you think the taxes would be, you know, do you think if people did a tax revolt that that would speak louder than all
the
demonstrations?
Oh, definitely. I think that would be a great idea. However, I think trying to rely on an interpretation that the taxes are unconstitutional as a shield, maybe
an illusion. Well, the estimate is that 60 million people do not pay their taxes. The truth is, only 250 people went to jail last year for tax evasion. Mm-hmm. And most of those are people who lied on their income tax forms. A lot of people just do not file their forms anymore, and the odds are with you in terms of getting audited, but that doesn't mean you don't do your homework and you don't have other resources to mm-hmm. turn to in case you are one of the unlucky few that
See,
do get audited.
See, this is also the subject of a whole show. That's the problem.
Well, I'm dropping the seed in here, and Robert, if you want to talk to me, we can, you know, put something together, but I really...
Right. Well, what I want to do now is I want to give people an access to this...